District 42, Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson joining us with a paid political interview to discuss his candidacy for District 42 legislature. Senator Jacobson, good to see you back in the studio on a Tuesday, but now it kind of feels like a Monday, doesn't it?
It does feel like a Monday. It seems like I was just here yesterday, so it's great to be back. But you got George here today, so that's kind of a unique mix.
That's right. We're teaming up on you today.
Yeah, we're kind of changing gears here. We've got a more handsome individual sitting here in the studio than Mr. Windham.
I gathered that. I wasn't going to say it, but since you did.
Well, shucks, guys. I'll take it. But
we have the microphones and Rick doesn't, but on Friday...
No slight to Rick. Rick does a great job.
Oh, he does. But we got to give him a hard time when we get a chance, don't we, Senator?
Well, we will. We absolutely will.
Now, Senator Jacobson, it's a big election day that we know. A lot of our listeners know you as our District 42 Senator, but this is an opportunity for us to talk a little bit more about your campaign and on a bit more campaign mode than on the Senate mode, if you will.
Correct. And I appreciate the opportunity to be able to do this. It's been an interesting time. You know, all of you know that's the circumstance around my appointment. You know, the governor went out and he had reached out to me and asked me to consider an interview and really strongly encouraged me to give it a lot of thought. And so he did interview all the candidates that were declared candidates in the race at the time and then chose me as the person that he wanted to fill that seat that was vacated by Senator Groney. And the governor, really, we talked a lot about it, and really his focus was, Mike, you've been out there for 28 years now. You've done about everything in economic development. You've been involved in virtually every board and commission, and you've been actively involved in the community and other organizations. And you can bring the background that it takes to get here. And furthermore, he's obviously been aware that I've been heavily involved in agriculture throughout my life, and I had spent the last 8 years on his Ag Advisory Council. And so his real push was, Mike, over the last 8 years since I've known you, you've always been concerned about District 42 and rural Nebraska in general, and the fact that all the resources seem to end up in Lincoln and Omaha. And he says, here's your opportunity to do something about it. Instead of just winding down your career and slowing down, maybe semi-retiring, traveling more, spending more time at the farm, why don't you come down to the legislature, use your vast experience that you've gained over the years, and bring it down here and make a difference.
And still get some travel time, too.
Exactly.
Maybe not what you would expect, though, but...
Yes, and I think that's exactly right. Now, he left a few things out of this. Imagine that. He didn't... There's a few things he didn't tell me, so...
And he dropped you in on, like we've talked about before, I think the perfect analogy is we dropped you in on a treadmill going about 80 miles an hour and said, all right, good luck, keep up.
It truly was amazing that I knew when I got there that there were really two or three issues that were of paramount interest to the district, and clearly getting the funding for the rail park, that $30 million, which I thought was going to be a little easier than it was, that ended up being a real dogfight, and it was a chance for me to really hone my skills in terms of working with the relationships that I had in the legislature and to be able to get that to the finish line.
And they tried to go behind your back and the district's back a little bit and taking some of that money, too, and... That didn't work out too well for them.
It didn't work out very well, no. I would tell you that Gary Pearson and I were texting back and forth, and I've known Gary for a lot of years, well, since he came here. In fact, I really helped recruit Gary to come to North Platte originally.
Blessed to have him.
And we're great. He's a real great resource and great guy. But I can tell you that that's probably the maddest I'd ever seen Gary Pearson when I was starting to fill him in on what was going on down here. And I said, Gary, take a deep breath. I said, we're going to get this past the finish line. This is our money, and they're not taking it away from us. And so we were able to ultimately get to that point. And it really, a lot of that really came to really knowing some of the key players. Speaker Hilders played a role in that. Senator Aguilar, who I've known for some time, could very well have told me, Mike, I'm going to carry this. I'm going to carry this amendment. He agreed to stand down. I worked with Senator Brewer on it, obviously, who helped bring the bill to begin with. But when Senator Groney resigned, he picked it up as a sponsor. But pretty much told me day one that, you know, Mike, I got other things to work on. This is really your bill, so it's your baby. I'll do what you need me to do, but otherwise you take care of running the traps. And so we worked together on it from that standpoint. But it was really a function of going to the other senators, really Democrats and Republicans, and who I'd built relationships with earlier in the session, and was able to really work with them and say, look, I need this for our district. This was always meant to be money for North Platte. This rail park design and planning had been in the works for almost a decade now. Mm-hmm. And really, since Gary came to town, it was always his idea to bring a rail park, have a rail park here, be able to have access to the rail. I'll never forget his disappointment when he first got here. And he was so frustrated because he thought, wow, this is going to be wonderful. We can bring all this manufacturing and do all these things in North Platte because we've got Bailey Yard here. And then the first day he got the door slammed in his face by the UP by saying, oh, no, no, you can't touch our tracks out here. You can't touch our yard. We're not going to give you a spur. Mm-hmm. And it just stopped everything. So this was a unique opportunity now with the Greenbrier to be able to purchase that property, but we needed the funding to make it happen and some serious funding, and that was able to happen. So I was happy with that.
Now, Senator Jacobson, let's talk a little bit more about your background. I think a lot of folks know you from the variety of committees you've served on throughout our region, Airport Authority. You've also served in a city capacity as well, and you remain on the hospital board here as well. That's one of the appointments that you retained after your appointment to the Nebraska legislature. And obviously, a lot of folks know you as the chairman of Nebraska Land Bank, but let's talk a little bit about your history and your background leading up to starting the bank that's headquartered right here in North Platte.
Well, thanks. I will tell you that it's been interesting because many of you know I grew up on a rented farm in Clay County. I had seven brothers and sisters, dirt poor, three-bedroom house with no running water. But we were happy. You know, my parents loved us. Went to church every Sunday. They kept us and they kept our clothes clean and taught us a great work ethic. And amazingly enough, growing up on a rented farm, I love farming. My dad and I were very close. I love farming. He taught me a lot of the skills that I have today in terms of he taught me how to be a manager because he involved me very early on as a young child on helping make decisions or feeling like I was making decisions. And that's something that stuck with me the rest of my life in terms of how do you manage people and how do you get people to engage and work together. But I always wanted to go back to the farm. And so, you know, I went to Sutton Public Schools. Went on to the University of Nebraska, met my wife, Julie. We moved back to Clay County. She got a job at the Meat Animal Research Center in Clay Center as a research chemist. So I thought, I'm in great shape. I married a really smart wife, so she was going to take care of bringing in an income and benefits, and I could go back to the farm and farm. And that first fall, then I got a call from Superintendent of Schools at Red Cloud who said they had to fire their ag teacher, and you're the only guy in the state of Nebraska that's certified to teach ag that's not currently under contract. So he said, would you consider coming down here and taking this job? And I said, no. And
that didn't work out too well.
No, this guy didn't take no for an answer.
Pretty
and
persistent.
Yeah, that's right. And so I ended up interviewing and taking that job, and it was a great experience. So then I got someone to take that job the next year because I was driving 45 miles one way every day. Mm. And then I took a job as the ag teacher at Shickley, and I started an ag program there and was there for 3 years. And then in 1980, of all days, May of 1980, I went to work for City National Bank in Hastings as an ag loan officer. And so I learned all the things you don't do because the 80s were really rough with high interest rates. A lot of bankers and farmers alike, we all made a lot of mistakes back then. And I can tell you that as I look today with interest rates rising, the thing I can reach back now on my things that I learned back in the 80s and know let's don't make those same mistakes as lenders. Let's make sure we understand what we need to do, work with customers, try to figure out how to make this work. And well, probably the saddest thing in the 80s was in 1986, everything turned around. I think about producers that liquidated their operations in 1985, and if they could have hung on for another 6 months, they probably could have made it. And that's something that I'll always remember. And it's really kind of helped keep me focused as we move forward.
Now, Senator Jacobson, let's talk about the early days of Nebraska Land Bank. When did you start to envision what we have today with this bank?
Well, that's interesting. You know, I came out, when I left City National, they transferred into the National Bank of Commerce in Lincoln, spent 10 years there. And then because of the customer base that I was working with out here, they wanted me to come to North Platte, and we were going to buy the banks in Bridgeport and Alliance. And so they sent me to North Platte National. And I really kind of found that And so much of what's happened in my life, you just feel that there's you need to do something different. I was at a point where I was working around the clock. My kids were young when we moved to North Platte. Mary was in first grade and Josh was in kindergarten. And so I was spending a lot of time away from the kids, traveling for the bank. And I just felt like that, you know, I've always kind of thought I'd like to do my own thing. So I was able to convince Kim Schroll at the time to go with me, and Kim was young and impressionable at that time, and so I was able to convince her to do that. I'm not sure I could do that today, but
what a great person.
Yes.
She's amazing.
Well, Kim and Sally Gentleman and I were the three that initially left, and then Kim's sister Krista agreed then to join us as well, and so... you know, I remember going down Christmas, the previous Christmas of 97, and we were at Julie's in-laws, and I was at a computer, and I was working spreadsheets and putting together projections and filling a application form out for a new charter. And there was a lot of work that went into that.
I can't imagine.
And did it all in my own time because I was full-time employed also with First Commerce at the time. And then we made the leap and raised some additional capital. I had bought a farm along the way, my first farm, which I always had never owned a farm before. I ended up having to sell that farm to come up with the equity. Any farmer out there that remembers buying their first farm, they know understand how difficult it was to sell that farm. But I just felt convinced that this was the right thing to do and it would work. You know, I can tell you, if you bring in great people, have the right vision, and work your tail off, and take care of the customer. But taking care of the customer starts with taking care of your people. And that's one of the things I would tell you with the railroad that just I pull my hair out, is why don't you take care of your people? And all of a sudden, everything works. It's the cornerstone of what I've learned in growing a business is if your people aren't happy, your customers won't be either.
Mm-hmm. And in talking about this business too, Senator, this is a business that's really expanded and done well in recent years. We think about the expansion in North Platte with numerous locations and the new headquarters built in recent years as well, but expansion outside of our wonderful community as well.
Well, that's right. I always tell people don't try this at home when we did a de novo charter. Well, we actually did a second de novo charter in Rock Springs, Wyoming, and we were having trouble finding qualified people to really run it. So Kim and Krista and I were commuting back and forth, and we had dual roles. And finally, we just decided to branch Commerce Bank into Nebraska land. So we have a branch in Rock Springs, Wyoming. But otherwise, we'd build a branch up in Mullen, which I really hated to sell. I love the people up in Mullen. What a wonderful community. But I needed to go to Kearney, and we needed capital to do it. And so I found Carl Randecker with First State Bank, who has been in smaller communities. I knew he would take care of things up there, and so we reached an agreement. We sold him that and went to Kearney with a branch. So we're now headquartered here, have a branch in Kearney. The reason for the Kearney branch was that we knew we were going to have to access more people, and I felt that if I could be in a town with a four-year college, we'd have better opportunity to hire people and then get them into the system and then hopefully get them to move to North Platte as well. And that's part of the reason why I didn't throw my hat in the ring a year ago to run for the legislature. I gave it some serious consideration, but we were thinking that we were maybe have to go to Grand Island or Lincoln in order for the same reason we went to Kearney. And then I realized that with this hiring shortage and people shortage, it was going to be a tough lift to go in and do a de novo branch in either of those markets. So we gave up that idea and decided we're going to continue to work hard in the markets that we're in. And so then that freed my time up again. And as you guys know, I've got an incredible staff, and my senior staff is just awesome. And when I was chairman of the Nebraska Bankers Association, that's when they really took over in some of their roles, and they've just continued to grow. And so I've made it a point to step back and kind of get out of their way and let them run the primary things. And I'm really more focused now on strategic issues, and I still run the asset liability management, oversee the bond portfolio, but I'm even stepping somewhat away from that. So it's really given me the opportunity to really go down and serve in the legislature, and so that's kind of where we got to.
Now, Senator Jacobson, if you're reelected today to serve the Nebraska legislature for District 42, what do you hope to accomplish this coming session?
Well, the list is growing. One of the things that I've had in mind, obviously, The two-person crew at the railroad, I think, is an important safety element. That's something that's high on my radar. Right now, federally, I think they're required to keep it in place for a couple of years. But we need to keep that top of mind. Going on the Transportation and Telecommunications Committee, I think I have an opportunity to take a leadership role there in a couple of years. So I want to keep that issue teed up so that as we get to the point where this federal mandate goes away, that we can have that mandate in place on the, at the state level, either prior to or at the time that that happens. So that's an issue for me. I've already drafted a micro-TIF bill, which will clean up the micro-TIF rules to make it more usable. Clearly, we've got a significant housing issue here in North Platte and in the entire region. I've been to all the villages talking to them about how we can help. Many of the villages now are looking at using TIF, but that even that alone, given high interest rates, is not going to get us there, but it's another way to get there. And micro-TIF will really allow us to restore, remodel a lot of older homes, and that'll be a cheaper way to be able to get more quality housing here.
Now, Senator Jacobson, we do have to wrap up, but before we do so, why should folks heading to the polls today check your name when they see that ballot for District 42, Nebraska State Legislature?
Sure. Well, here's would be my thought is I would just encourage everyone to go back and look at who's there today. Has he delivered for us to this point? What's his experience? How long has he been here? What are his life experiences that he can bring to this job? I've been in North Platte now. Julie and I moved here 28 years ago. I've been involved in almost every economic development project that exists in North Platte. I've served on the hospital board. I understand the challenges in healthcare. I've been involved in agriculture all my life. I can tell you frontwards and backwards cost of funds, or a cost of operations and input costs for farming and what it takes to make a profit there. So I think it's my vast background and my experience, the same thing that the governor was looking at when he appointed me to begin with. You know, I look at, if you're going to make a comparison, you know, my opponent's been on the county, been a county commissioner for less than 2 years. And I think he's getting some good experience. I applaud him for his military background, and I don't shortcut that at all. But I think when it comes to who's ready to be there and really deliver for the district, who can commit the time, my children are grown. They live in Lincoln. So I have the time to be there. The bank's not going to hold me back. My opponent, on the other hand, has got to make a living, got to be a father. It just seems a little early for him. I think he's got a bright future, but it's maybe not now.
Senator Jacobson, I have to ask, too. I checked my ballot box yesterday. Looking down the list, I know your opponent's middle name. What's your middle name? It's B's the middle initial, right?
Correct.
I thought so. And I was looking at my ballot box yesterday, George, and I thought, I know Commissioner Bruns' middle name, but I don't think I know Senator Jacobson's middle
name.
These
are important, weighty decisions.
This is a weighty decision.
Yes, yeah, we need to know these things.
It is Brent.
Okay.
B-R-E-N-T.
George, we should have brought this up in the debate last week.
He's totally transparent. You can see
that. I know,
We did. Well, how did we not bring this up in the debate last week?
That's right.
Got to get those middle initials.
That's a distinguished middle name. I think it speaks well for you.
Well, I was hoping, I wasn't sure what I wanted for middle name, but I've kind of owned it.
Not that you had much of a choice.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, there's some people that swap out their first name for the middle name. I didn't do that.
It's got a ring to it now, though.
It does. Yes, it does.
Senator Jacobson, if folks want to reach you as our District 42 senator and as an individual on the ballot today, how can they do so?
Well, the easiest way to reach me right now, because since we're really talking, we're in campaign mode. You know, I've got a
full on today.
It's full on today, and see, you can't use the state seal for anything campaigning. So I got my own private little business cards that I've been leaving at the nearly 5,000 doors that I've knocked on. Mm-hmm. I might add, but my personal cell number is 308-530-6932. And so I've had people that have reached out to me and called me, text me. You're certainly welcome to do so. I've got some people that I've got to get back to. It's amazing. I go into Walmart and I bump into people that catch me. And so I've got a couple people I need to reach back out to today who stopped me in Walmart the other day and wanted me to reach out to them. So it's been interesting. It's been a lot of fun campaigning. I have to say that I'm really looking forward really to this expanded district too, because there's it's unique. It really
it is
unique.
Yeah.
And any time I had, like last Sunday, traveling from North Platte, going up to Dunning, you're going up through Thedford, that drive up on Highway 83 or going to Mullen on 97, just what a
it's
gorgeous
beautiful.
Drive.
What Words gorgeous don't do
drive.
It justice.
It really doesn't. It really doesn't. So, but it's been a lot of fun. It's been an honor serving as District 42 State Senator. I hope I have the opportunity to do it for another 4 years.
Senator Jacobson, thank you for the time. Best of luck to you and everybody that's going to be on the ballots today for a big election day.
Thank you very much.